Wow, the silence has overtaken the room. Praise be. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. We do have a handout for today with today's day on it. And welcome to our finale here. We're saying goodbye to Lori. You going to miss Lori?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I mean, she's got a lot of other stuff, so maybe we can revisit. She's got other things in the same book, and she's got other books. And, you know, when I first thought about doing this, I was thinking about, gee, how could we have like a women's thing? And, you know, I could call it Tuesdays with Lori. Now, anybody remember Tuesdays with Maury, that famous? Yeah, this was going to be Tuesdays with Lori. But, hey, maybe that would still be something we could do in the future, right? Because... But, you know, I think there's really been kind of a steady theme here of people who are hurting and people who are, you know, having difficult times that kind of marks this. And so this really just can't go on forever here. And so I'm happy to have a finale here. And she is going to be speaking from Jeremiah 29. And this is where the nation of Israel is going into captivity. And it is going to be, you know, an overnight event, right? And actually one of the false prophets, Hananiah, said that, hey, I can get you guys out of this mess in 2 years. I'm going to take care of Nebuchadnezzar, you know? And sure, right? Jeremiah said, no, it's going to be 70 years you will be in captivity. 70. That means this is the long haul. This is likely your whole life, right? Especially back then when some of the lifespans weren't as long as they are today. And so the recommendation here is to kind of settle in and build houses and deal with real life and deal with what's in front of you. And so it's about building, settling in, and actually making God your home. What a great introduction to Psalm 84, right? This is our favorite psalm to chant. Right? Do we have this on the screen? Do we have Psalm 84 on the screen? We do? Do we? Oh, great. Let's all... Yes, Anibal, isn't it a great introduction to Psalm 84?
It is.
Yeah.
Who was that? 2 years?
Hananiah. He was with Jeremiah. He was a false prophet. And he was getting all the people up. And he really was. And, you know, some of these things are parallel lines in our culture. He was a real, what we'd call today, a nationalist. There's no way some foreign power is going to overtake us. We're the people of God. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Let's stand and sing this great, great, great psalm. We could start with a pitch. That pitch is as good as any, right? How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pool. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man thou trusteth in thee. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your word given to us. We thank you, Lord, that indeed you are our dwelling place. Lord, how lovely, how amiable, how pleasant it is to be in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that today we come to do that in worship time. That where two or three are gathered, that there you are in the midst. And Lord, we look forward to that in the next hour. Feasting with you and with one another at your love feasts. Father, we pray during this hour here that you would help us, Lord, on this journey. We pray that you would strengthen us. Lori, I thank you for Lori Short and for these essays that she has sent our way. We trust that they've been profitable, helpful for us, and that this one would be as well. We pray that you would make it so. In Jesus' name, amen. Good chanting. Outstanding chanting. The title of this segment here as we close out this lesson here is, I thought it would be do what's in front of you, and I spelled the word extrapolated wrong, so you can all forgive me for that, right? Raise your hand if you will forgive me for that. Thank you. Great. How many of you would have noticed that? Alan would have. Kristen would have. Yeah. So there you go. Build houses and settle in. This is from Lori Short, Jeremiah 29. Our new copier still. We're working through how to work it. But this is the passage that says, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. She writes, I don't know about you, but when I find myself in a place I don't want to be, emotionally or circumstantially, my temptation is to keep my bags packed. I have my eye on the door. We're not talking about taking a trip here. We're talking about blasting off and getting out of this. And my prayers are focused on God helping me get out. Yet here in this verse, we find words that encourage us to do the exact opposite. I find it interesting in the same chapter that carries such a hopeful promise for the future, verse 11, there is also a strong encouragement to stay in the now. Even in the now is a place we would rather not be. And I got that. This is the same exact passage that Jeremiah says that you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. You know, I mean, how many times have you heard, you know, the verse, I know the plans that, you know, that I have for you, right, to build. And, you know, and everybody thinks that, oh, tomorrow I'm going to get that promotion, right? It's the same passage that says 70 years. Talk about staying power. My. Then she writes, exile can be, hate to tell Lori this, but exile is, right, a place you don't want to be, right? You don't want to be in exile. Nothing fun there at all. Circumstances you'd rather not have, or an unfulfilled longing. The heading at the beginning of the chapter of Jeremiah is a letter to the exiles, and it is addressed to the Israelites after they were taken to a location that none of them wanted to be. They had been captured by King Nebuchadnezzar and taken from their homes to Babylon. Now this is 700, 800 miles away, and they were dragged away in chains, right? They didn't take a bus, right? And we can only imagine how much they longed to return to Israel. Sorry about that. And Jeremiah's words encourage them to settle in
where they were and to stay because there was a purpose for their time in Babylon. During our own seasons of exile, we might be watching the door and planning our escape, but God invites us to turn our attention to what this time has for us right now. Build houses and settle down gives us an indication of longevity. Jeremiah doesn't say, you know, rent houses and go month to month. He tells the Israelites to settle in. I can imagine there was sadness for the Israelites who hoped their time in Babylon would be brief and temporary. And by the way, Hananiah really seized on that, the false prophet. He knew that people wanted to go for a little bus tour, right? And that he would be the hero and rescue them. These people would discover that their exile would last 70 years. And it would be a lifetime, I think more than that, for some in their midst. Clearly, God did not want them to live their entire time in exile just waiting to be rescued out of it. There were things God wanted them to discover and learn about themselves in exile, and it is the same with us. And by the way, over the last 3 years, you know, there's this idea here that, you know, there's a book that I was too chicken to read. The name of the book was This Too Shall Last. You ever hear the phrase, this too shall pass? Right? But the name of the book is This Too Shall Last. And the idea is people have like terminal illnesses and things. If you spend your whole life wanting to be rescued out of it, you're not doing today what you ought to be doing today. This struck home to me, this idea of living in the present. And we're going to connect that with living in the past as well as living in the future. And I dare say that I'm not the only person who struggles with sometimes living in the past and sometimes living in the future, or both, and not spending nearly enough of my time living in the present. And I think pain and an injury, an ailment, or a particular circumstance can exacerbate that and make that worse in someone's life. But still, duty calls us to be people who live in the present. So I don't want us to miss that there. So God did not want them to live their entire time in exile. So, you know, pick your poison, whatever it is that's troubling you, and you spend your whole life wanting to be rescued from that. Because sometimes this too shall last. And for these folks, 70 years was a lifetime. Right? I would venture to say for all of them. There are things that God wanted them to discover and to learn about themselves in exile, and it is the same with us. Exiles are not mistakes or placeholders. They are for a purpose that we are invited to take the time to see. Over in the column, I have a little note that says the real is the ideal. Anybody here get the Epoch Times in hard copy? It's a newspaper, right? Epoch Times had a feature article, it's probably 3 or so weeks ago, and it talked about people who were homesteaders, and it talked about this idea that living on a farm, you know, people have these grandiose fantasies about what it would be like to raise animals and have crops and be self-sufficient. When you actually do it, okay, it's like your first year of doing it is like, oh my, it's so depressing. And the bugs get, you build an orchard and, you know, the bugs eat all the fruit, or the birds eat all the berries, right? Or the animals die, or, you know, it's just so. But it's real. And the point is this, is that it may not be the ideal that you thought it was, but it was real. And once you live like that, you come to the conclusion that, you know what? What is real is really more fulfilling than that which is ideal. What is ideal is just kind of a dream and a fantasy. But when you actually do it and you get your hands dirty, there's a fulfillment that comes with that, that no fantasy or no dream can actually fulfill. And so those are people who are really living in the present. Because you know what? You're out in the barn and you need water, and all of a sudden your water doesn't work. Guess what? You got to fix it. You can't just dream it away. Or in my case, you got to call somebody who can fix it. And in some cases, you learn how to do things you never thought you were able to do. I mean, how many of you often think of me as cleaning the goat's feet? Taking the little clippers, scraping out the muck, clipping their fingernails, their toenails, right? You do things you never thought. In exile, right? So there's this sense where the real can become the ideal. I'm getting a little far afield here. Settle down is a phrase that a teacher would say to a group of restless children. Perhaps this was an encouragement the Israelites needed to hear in the restlessness of being away from the comfort of their home. When we are in a place where we don't want to be, whether physically, emotionally, spiritually, it is natural to feel uneasy and restless. This is a call to settle down. This call to settle down feels very incongruous with what our hearts naturally feel. We want to just blast off, go to the beach. Nevertheless, God tells us we need to slow down in order to see what our circumstances might bring. Settle down can also be a helpful prayer when we are occupied with future worries. God is always in the present. And no matter what the present looks like, it is where he wants us to be. And yet, we drift off into, oh, why can't it be like the good old days? Or, I can't wait till I'm out of here, we can do that. And that place might be a place of pain, it might be a physical location, it might be a status of life, who knows, right? Plant gardens and eat what they produce also gives the inkling of longevity. Apparently, the Israelites were going to see houses built and crops raised, and they were encouraged to contribute to the good of where they were. Plant gardens has a service element to it. Imagine that. We're at the farmer's market, and people are finding joy as we bring our goats, and they get to milk a goat, these city kids. And could be interpreted as an encouragement to do what we can do for those around us. And when we are somewhere, even when we are somewhere where we would rather not be, God invites us to participate in the lives of people who are there. In season of want and longing, it can feel too hard to connect with others, and we may be tempted to isolate. Hello? When we reach out to people, however, the mysterious healing occurs. The pain of our exile dissipates when we get involved in the lives of those around us. God has designed us for community. And when we reach out to help those around us, our own lives are fulfilled. Exile means letting go of some of the dreams we have for ourselves and letting them be replaced with dreams that God has for us. While there's almost always loss in exile, there can be great joy that would be gained when we engage in what God has for us there. Yeah, how many people come to the conclusion, as long as I'm in this condition, or as long as I am here, I'm never going to be able to enjoy life. Really? This is what Jeremiah encourages the Israelites to do. God wants the Israelites to work for the good of the land they are in. And though it is not the land, even though it is not the land they hope to be. And my little quote on the side is, you go to war with the army that you have, not the army that you wish you had, right? And so, let's say you're a football coach and, you know, 32 scrawny kids show up for tryouts the first day. And you say, oh, nothing good can happen this season, right? Or do you just plow yourself into that? where you're coaching a basketball team. Nobody's 6 feet tall. You'd say, well, good luck. As we think of the Israelites eating what their gardens produce, we imagine gatherings around the table. These gatherings were probably placeholders of joy in the midst of the seasons of exile where they were called to endure. So, you know what? Can you have fun? Eat what they produce brings hope that there will be moments of great joy even in the midst of great difficulty, right? When we enjoy those moments and savor what they give our souls, we find our exile is less a painful sentence to have to endure. Whether exile is a place we don't want to be, a circumstance we would rather not have, or an unfulfilled longing we are called to bear, this verse gives great wisdom and insight for our seasons in exile. In those seasons, and she keeps talking about seasons, but you know what? Sometimes 70 years is a long time. In these seasons, we may not be able to choose what happens to us, but we can choose our response to what God wants to develop in us. It is the gift that our exile offers, an opportunity to grow our souls in a way that no other season can bring. The calling of this verse is not just to endure, but to live it. Reflection number one. I've already commented on this briefly, but, you know, this registered with me. And I have a tendency to live in the past and live in the present, even when I don't feel bad. But it's on steroids when I am not feeling well. Are you someone who lives in the present, or are you often dwelling on what happened in the past? Or what may happen in the future? And for me, to ask that is to answer that. And I just don't think I'm alone. Maybe I am. You know, maybe if I, you know, this is the finale here, you know, and y'all could say, boy, I never knew Pastor Jim was as screwed up as he is. Number two, how have you lived your exiles? Are you in one now? Can you think of moments of joy that you've had during an exile period? Number three, how do you feel about settling in to your next season of exile differently? Is there any advice from this verse that resonates with you? So, I've shared enough, but I do think that, you know, my experience is that in terms of number one, pain is something that makes you want to escape the present. And so you spend a lot of time thinking about the past or a hopeful, idyllic future without pain. And pain can come from lots of different things. It can come from, you know, physical pain, emotional pain, any kind of pain. So, if nobody says anything in the next 15 minutes, I am going to conclude that y'all said, you know what, I just really never knew how screwed up Pastor Jim was. So, somebody chime in and find that this has registered in some way with them. And evil, bless your heart, and evil. Yeah.
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 When we were planning to go, I remember it was like in Maine or something, and I was praying, and I was talking to Norma. Norma said, well, Teresita, you know that. I said, oh, I don't want to hear. She was saying, it's time. God needs, you know, you need to leave now to go to Puerto Rico. And I didn't want to hear her. But it took me a long time to decide. I wanted to be here. I want to wait for my roses to grow. After that, I wanted my garden to be done. Mm-hmm. Then I wanted something else. That's when I spoke to Norma. Mm-hmm. And then when we left, we were there. We went to the country house. I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be here. And I kept asking Job to send me pictures. I wanted to see my roses. I wanted to see what's happening. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And at one point, I said, Ronnie, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I want to get out of here. And he said to me, we are here. Let's make the best of it. Do what we can, because when you are there,
yeah.
But it was really, really hard. It was a time that I didn't want to be there at all. You know.
Yeah.
But then we did go there.
Yep. Yep. Anybody else? Mr. Teal. Nice and loud.
When I saw the first question, I got the image of a set of scales. We're in the present.
And, you know, the whole idea that God is in the present, so we ought to be there, right? Not that he wasn't there in the past with us when that was the present, or not that he won't be there with us in the future when that is the present, but God is with us now. Anybody else? Yes, Alan.
One of the hardest things about coaching, as when coaches get together, we kind of laugh about how we're wishing our life over. We can't wait till the next game. And the kids get that way too. So you got to settle down and say, hey, let's enjoy the process. That's what we're going through every day. You know, today we're doing
practice. Yeah.
To go through the process. And it's really hard because sometimes you say, boy, next Friday, we can't wait next Friday. Well, we got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Let's enjoy the process each day. And that was one of the things I tried to do with the kids, enjoy the process. You know, you may not win them all, but enjoy the process.
For
each other. And
preparation.
So,
very good.
It's going to be over faster than you think anyways, so let's just enjoy it while we go along. And I think some of the teams I've had that were like that, and some of them were always striving somewhere else. But by and large, once we understood the process is important, we concentrate each day. WIN, we call it be a winner. What's important now?
Right. Very good. Anybody else? George?
I like to live, like I say, I like to live in the present. But I got my mind open to what happened yesterday because sometimes it's fun.
Because sometimes it's what?
It's fun.
It's fun to think about yesterday. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It used to be.
I mean, there are Jet fans out there who just say, oh, man, you know, Joe Namath, 1969 was so great. And they lived their whole life there. If you're following what's going on now, you might be tempted to think that way. But they actually have a good team. Yes.
The Giants are not doing too good.
The Giants, yeah, that was a bad start to the season. Yeah, yeah. But there's today, so they have today. Anybody else? Joe. Yeah.
I think about that a lot.
Yeah.
Man, I can't wait for that. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of Christians cling to this life like there's no afterlife.
Yeah.
Do everything in their power to keep going.
Yeah.
Believe, man.
Yeah.
Turn that life-saving machine off. Let me go.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Epic Times also has a massive article. There's been a whole series, the last several of them, about this, inverse relationship between living longer and dying well.
I don't know if you yourself
is thinking that way. Oh, no. You're being great. You're being biblical, too. But this whole idea that living longer and dying well are an inverse relationship often. Pardon me? That sometimes when you're in so much pain and you're being helped by all these medications or machines, your quality of life is just so poor that your ability to live well is almost zero. Anybody else?
I want to live longer than dying well.
Well, we're going to live forever, so. Yeah. Anybody else? Commenting on our passage here. Are there going to be any tears for Lori here?
Yes.
There are going to be tears for Lori?
Mm-hmm. Because when I was in Puerto Rico, the country was an evil, telling me on a daily basis, you know, let's enjoy what we have in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was watching my sister, or taking care of my sister, it was the church there.
Mm-hmm.
Those ladies there, they pray, and they're always talking to you and calling you. And
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, without the church, it's like you have no one.
Mm-hmm.
People that don't come to church at all.
Right.
Right.
Right. We do have someone sitting right up here in the front row, and she has escaped New York, and she's been out of New York for a couple of months now, right? How do you feel to be out of exile and coming back and visiting the exiles here?
It feels good.
Feels.
I miss it here. Sundays are depressing, to be honest.
Well, you're always welcome to come to church. I know it's a long drive, right? It's good to see you. I'm going to close in prayer. Father God in heaven, we thank you for, again, these essays that have been brought to us, for these discussion times we've been able to have. And we thank you for this one here about keeping the present front and center. And as challenging as this may be, Lord, we pray that you would help every single one of us to always be doing that. Lord, we cannot change and we cannot repeat what's gone on before. And Lord, we cannot, we have no guarantees about anything beyond even this moment. So Lord, help us to do what is in front of us and to enjoy it and to settle in and to settle down. We thank you, Lord, for the Sabbath day, where indeed you do challenge us to settle in and to settle down, to remember your covenant, to be the recipient of your blessings, of your calling and your forgiveness, to be filled with your word, to sit with you and your people at your kingdom table before you commission us again to go out. So we thank you for the respite that this day is. Help us to rejoice in it. In Jesus' name, amen.